The following sermon is by John MacArthur, pastor, author, and Bible teacher with Grace to You. If you've never contacted Grace to You, we want to send you a free booklet by John titled Defeating Discontentment. It gives you 7 practical principles that will help you face setbacks and difficult circumstances and experience contentment even when life turns upside down. Request your free booklet titled Defeating Discontentment by writing to defeating@gty.org. That's defeating@gty.org. This offer is good in North America and Europe through June 2024. And now, unleashing God's truth one verse at a time, here is Grace to You Bible teacher John MacArthur.
For most of us, birthdays and anniversaries are significant. It's good and even biblical to mark these events as a time to remember God's faithfulness over the years. We'd like to do that today. We hope that you'll be a part of it as John MacArthur is here for today's edition of Grace to You. All this week on Grace to You, we've been celebrating a significant milestone in John MacArthur's ministry. This week marks the 25th anniversary of John's ministry through recorded messages here at Grace to You. Little did anyone know back in 1969 that the idea would grow into an international outreach touching countless lives. But today on Grace to You, we'd like to share with you a conversation recorded just a few weeks ago before that devastating 6.6 earthquake that struck Southern California in our offices. As we recount some of the history and the stories of how God has brought us through this unique ministry, we'll enjoy a time of conversation touching on some of the highlights of the past 2.5 decades. And to do that, John MacArthur is joined in the studio by the host for today's special broadcast, Al Sanders.
Thanks, Carl. And you stand by, if you will, because I know that you want to add your voice to today's very special program. It's a salute to 25 years of ministry for Grace to You and John MacArthur. And John, I guess the most obvious question would be, did you have any idea 25 years ago the worldwide scope into which the ministry of Grace to You would develop?
Oh, I had no idea whatsoever. When I came to Grace Church and all of this started, my goal was to keep people from leaving the church. I really never thought many would come. I just had experience that when new pastors come, people leave. It was a shock. It continues to be a real shock to me, and a testimony to God's goodness and God's grace.
Well, let's start at the beginning. How did it start?
Well, I came to Grace Church in 1969. They had two pastors who died of a heart attack, the first two pastors. And I think the only criteria that I satisfied was I was young, and they wouldn't have to support another widow. When I was contacted in 1969 to come to Grace Church, and I preached there, I was overwhelmed with the love and the exuberance. It had a tremendous youth group. That's what really excited me. And it had a board who said we want to grow, and we want to grow according to the Scripture, and we want a man who will teach the Word of God. Right from the very start, a man came to me and said, we need to record your sermons. And, of course, there were no cassettes in those days. It was all reel-to-reel. And he said, we need to record these because there are sick people who can't come on Sunday. That's all he was thinking of, was sick and shut-ins. Mm-hmm. And what he would do would be make one tape and haul around this big tape recorder in and out of homes and hospitals and play this same tape over and over for these people while he sat by their bedside.
What a ministry.
And as time went on, people began to ask for the tapes. And so he began to duplicate them reel to reel, and people would pick them up on Sunday, and then eventually cassettes came. And we started out with battery-powered tape recorders. In fact, when we went to cassette, he had about 50 little tiny battery-powered cassette machines all over his house.
Wow. And as a result of that, of course, the ministry continued to grow from those 50. I'm sure that many more were added after that.
Well, what happened was people said, you know, we need to send these to missionaries, and I want to send them to my brother-in-law. You know how that happens.
Sure.
And it just began to take off, and in the early days, we sold them for $1 a tape. And I was convinced people were buying the tapes, erasing me and recording their kids, you know. But it just took off from there.
Well, where was Grace to You located at that particular point?
Well, it was located on the campus of Grace Community Church. Uh-huh. We had some space within the church and just dedicated it to the tape ministry. It started right there.
Let's telegraph ahead just a wee bit. Well, first of all, let me ask you, do you recall that first sermon that you preached?
Yes, I do. Preached on Matthew chapter 7, many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, and then will I say unto them, depart from me, I never knew you. Because the first Sunday I was at Grace Church, I was concerned that there were people in the church who might not know the Lord.
That's been your concern for many years.
Many years. And as it turned out, it was of the Holy Spirit that I did that, because a number of people surfaced who were not Christians. In fact, a number of them were on the board of the church. And we had a tremendous response even to that first sermon.
As a matter of fact, the title of the message was How to Play Church. Mm-hmm. And we have a cassette. I have one in my hand here that I know our listeners would like to hear. It would be a tremendous challenge to anyone you may know about whom you may not be sure of their eternal salvation. Let's telegraph ahead just a wee bit. That was 1969 when you came to the church, February. So what happened in 1977, John, that really brought the ministry of Grace to You into a quantum leap, as it were, a whole new plateau?
Well, it was Christian radio. It was kind of funny, really. Somebody called us from Baltimore, Maryland, and said, boy, we really enjoy your radio program. And we said, we don't have a radio program. What are you talking about? Well, my friend Tom Bissett, who's with WRBS in Baltimore, just took tapes, stuck them on the air, and people started responding, and when they would call the station, he would give them our address at the church, and they would write, and we thought, well, if there's a need and there's a response, we'll track this a little bit and see what happens. And so we developed a half-hour format, which changed a lot in the early years, and went on the first radio station, actually, with a daily program, KDAR in Oxnard. They just celebrated their 20th anniversary, and that was where it all started, in that station in Oxnard.
Well, sit back for just a few moments, and let's give you a treat, as well as our listeners, and play a brief montage of what some of those early broadcasts, dating way back to 1977, must have sounded like. Let's listen together.
Why was the book of Ephesians written?
Who were the Ephesians?
How can studying the book of Ephesians help me with problems I face right now? Good questions. For the answers, why don't you get your Bible and join us for Grace to You.
With all the problems, struggles, and famines of our world, there are those who feel that much of our problem is due to the fact that the earth is running out of food. Much attention has been focused on marine biology in search of food. With three-quarters of the earth underwater, many feel that is the solution to our problem. However, our problem is not a lack of resources. Do you know what it is?
If you'd like to know what our problem is, then may I suggest you get your Bible, call a friend, and join us for Grace to You.
Well, we can certainly see some of the changes that have taken place across the years. You know, since those first broadcasts, there have been a number of changes, including the addition of our announcer and good friend, Carl Miller. And Carl, I think that's your cue to say whatever's on your heart as to how you feel about the ministry of John MacArthur and Grace to You.
Thanks for the opportunity, Al. John, it's usually my responsibility to construct a frame around your teaching time here each day, and I count it a privilege to do that. But if I could, for a moment, take off my announcer's hat, let me assume the role of one of your listeners for a moment. A number of years ago, prior to my involvement with Grace to You, my wife Louise and I had the opportunity to listen to several of your messages on cassette. It was a series on the family. And at that time, we were just starting ours, and we were anxious to follow God's guidelines for the home. Well, that series of lessons not only helped us tremendously, but it was the start of my deep appreciation for you, and especially your consistent challenge for each of us to be students of God's Word. So thanks for the personal impact that you've had on my life and family. And please accept my gratitude as a tribute to you personally and to God for giving you 25 years of faithful ministry at Grace Church.
Thanks, Carl, for those good words. Let's talk now, John, just a wee bit about your relationship to the audience. There are some wonderful people you've gotten to know, many that you'll not have the opportunity of meeting until you get to glory, of course. But tell us about some of those people that you have met in some of the meetings across the nation.
Just 2 weeks ago, I was in Oklahoma City, and I was sitting at a table signing some books. I was there to preach in a shepherd's conference and a radio rally for, I believe it's KQCV radio there in Oklahoma City.
That's it.
And I was sitting at the table signing books, and this lady came up, lovely lady, and she said, "I want to thank you for your radio ministry." And I said, "Well, thank you." She said, "No," she said, "you'll never know what a difference it's made in our family, because my husband was converted to Christ listening to Grace to You." Mm. And I said, "Well, isn't that wonderful?" She said, "Yes, and that after pastoring 5 churches."
Wow, that's hard to believe.
But he never really knew the Lord, and he knew it. And God has changed his life, and she went on to tell the wonderful story. It is a tremendous avenue, obviously. Radio, I believe, is a communication teaching kind of medium, as opposed to television, which tends to fall on the entertainment side. And the Lord has just brought people, thousands of them, across my path that have been touched by the radio, and they continue to be a real joy to me.
Well, John, you've touched the hearts of many people, as you've just suggested, and we all appreciate the way in which the Lord has used you, and you have effectively given your gift back to Him. This might be a good point to let us have the opportunity of bringing some encouragement to your heart from a good friend of yours, and a lady I'm sure most of our listeners are acquainted with, Johnny Erickson Tada. Johnny, why don't you share what's on your heart with John?
Thanks, Al. And if my husband Ken were sharing the microphone with me, he would join me in saying congratulations, John, on this 25th anniversary of Grace to You. Grace to You has become an international ministry, boy, involving thousands of books and tapes and radio outlets here and abroad. So, John, bless you for being so faithful over this quarter of a century in preaching the Word of God. You stick to the text, you speak from the heart, you tell it like it is, and your zeal for Christ's gospel touches us all. Grace to you, John. That's my prayer for you. Grace to you. God's richest grace to you, my friend. And many more years of fine broadcasting.
Thanks, Johnny. We appreciate those kind remarks, and I know that encourages John as well as our listeners, and you've expressed it in ways that perhaps we would like to have expressed it. John, what excites you most about the ministry of radio and Grace to You? Is it still exciting to see the word go out?
Yes, it is. And I think what is most refreshing and wonderful about it is that even though radio is a media kind of thing, it has an intimacy about it. It's like having a one-on-one opportunity to just drop truth of God's Word right into the heart, and it's better than having a discussion because they can't talk back, you know. So I think about a guy who was in Sebring, Florida. He came up to me and he said, "I'm a new Christian and I want to give you my testimony." And I said, "Well, what is it?" He said, "Well," he said, "I am a fifth-generation Jehovah's Witness."
Ooh.
He said, "My father is in charge of the Jehovah's Witnesses for the state of Florida. And my wife and I and our 2 sons are all very involved. I train," he said, "all the pastors and the Jehovah's Witnesses in this state." And he said, "The other day I was driving across Alligator Alley, you know, down in South Florida, flipped on the radio, and I heard you. And you said Jesus is God." And, of course, he said, "We don't believe that." So I reached over and turned the radio off. I didn't know who you were. Turned it off. And then he said, "I turned it right back on again. And I listened." And he said, "I was in that area for 2 weeks, and I listened every day for 2 weeks." And he said, "At the end of the second week, I got down on my knees in a motel room and said, 'Indeed, Jehovah, whom I've served all these years, if you came into the world in the form of Jesus Christ, show me.' And he said, 'In the morning, I gave my life to Christ.'" And he said, "Now I'm going back to all these meeting places all through Florida." This was like 2 weeks before I saw him, this happened. "And I'm telling him the truth about who Christ is."
Wow.
He said, "Pray for my mother and father and my wife and 2 sons." And I got a letter from him, marvelous letter. His name is Tim. About 6 months later, and he said, "Thanks for your prayers. They're all in Christ." The whole family had come to Christ. That is, to me, what is so powerful. I mean, how am I going to meet a guy like that driving across Alligator Alley? What a privilege. How many people can get in his car for 2 weeks? It's just a tool there that the Holy Spirit, in His sovereign purpose, can use. That's what's exciting to me about Christian radio.
I'd be curious to know. I was talking with an elderly gentleman the other day, whom you know and I know, and went through the years. He's now 93 years of age, and I said, have your views changed any over these years? And he said, looking at me with sort of a twinkle in the eye, and he said, well, I guess I've become a little bit more mellow. Mm-hmm. Has John MacArthur, since he preached this message, How to Play Church, February of 1969, has he changed his theology, his viewpoint on things?
Not really. I think I'm a little more mellow, but the theology has been refined, and nuances have changed, and I've grown. Basically, the foundation of theology that I gained from the men who poured their life into me has stood the test of time.
And John, you have a number of people who are standing in your corner cheering you on, as it were. But there's one person who perhaps cheers you on more than anyone else, and that's your wonderful wife, Patricia. Mm-hmm. And maybe I could take you back to the summer of 1992. Actually, it was August 11th, a very special broadcast of Grace to You. Maybe we could just play that tape excerpt right now to let our listeners hear what went on.
Well, I need to say just a word about my wife and daughter this morning. I'm sure almost all of you, if not all of you, have heard that they had a car accident on Tuesday, and it was a very, very severe accident. I don't know how either of them lived except by the providence of God. The car was basically turned into a pancake, flattened completely. And I can tell you that when I heard the news, when they phoned me and gave me the news, because I wasn't around, that peace that we talked about last Sunday, I experienced. I thought she was dead. That was the news that came to me, was that she was injured critically and that they were airlifting her. That, well, it doesn't take much imagination to figure that that must have been something fatal or near fatal. And so I found that even in the sense that filled my heart that she was gone, or if she wasn't gone, she could be maimed for life, that God flooded my own heart with perfect peace because I have total trust in Him, absolute confidence in Him. It's been wonderful to see that confidence, too, in our children as they are so willing to let the Lord do in their lives and even in the life of their mom what is His purpose to do. It's been a spiritually uplifting experience. As we've said so many times in preaching, all of this drives you to the Lord, doesn't it? Because you come to the end of your human resources, and it's in drawing nigh unto Him and having Him draw nigh unto you that the richness of that relationship is enjoyed. And so from a spiritual standpoint, this would be a high point for the life of our little family, and we just thank you so much for your prayers.
And you had an incredible number of people who were praying for you and Pat during that time. But did you ever wonder, John, why me, God? Why was it necessary for Patricia to have to go through that experience?
No. I guess I just trust in God confidently. Obviously, I rejoice every day that God spared her life. And I've told her, oh, it's good living with me. I mean, we have a wonderful, happy life, but I can't compete with heaven. So the Lord didn't spare her for her sake, my sake.
Well, it was just about a year after that, almost a year to the day, that we had a special program on Grace to You. Patricia was here in the studio with us. She's in the control room today for this program. But let's just play an excerpt of that special program a year after the tragic accident. Well, Patricia, I hope you don't take this in the wrong way, but as I see you today, a year after that near-fatal accident, you look perfectly normal. Have you had any kind of residual problems connected with that?
Not really, Al. Basically, I have no pain or discomfort that even requires any prescription drug.
Just before we go, though, Patricia, what would you say to John MacArthur after this full year that you've been going through some very difficult times? How would you express your love and appreciation to this man of God? I'd be interested in hearing.
Well,
me too.
Okay.
Right across.
Well, he's a very consistent man, and I can honestly say through all these years of being married to the man, he is what he preaches, and he doesn't have a high-low personality in terms of temperament or panic or anything. He just trusts the Lord in every given situation. And even through this, he was a great strength to me because he knew in his heart, and I did as well, that God was in control even through all of this, and that he had a purpose was for my good and God's glory. And Johnny fit into that picture very well. I mean, he was there when I needed him, and he ministered to me when I needed him. I mean, to the point of putting antiseptic on my pin sites and caring for me when I had particular needs. He really came through and passed the test with flying colors. So I am very grateful for his faithfulness and his love and more than anything else, for his faithfulness to the calling that God has brought into his life.
Wow. That gives me sort of tears just hearing what Patricia had to say to you, John, on that occasion.
We have a permanent relationship.
I see you do.
We have a lifelong, deep, wonderful, loving friendship.
What a great role model in days like these when so many men in the ministry seem to be defecting morally.
No, it's so tragic and so unnecessary and forfeits all the good things that God gives to those that are faithful.
Well, that brought a few tears, tears of joy, of course, because of Patricia's healing. But you've had other times of encouragement and laughter, right?
Yes, we've had quite a few. You know, James said, who doesn't offend with his tongue is a perfect man. Mm. And when you preach 2,000 sermons and everything you say is recorded, there are some things you wish hadn't been recorded.
Well, do we have any tape there from our production department that we could share, maybe a story that you told from one of your sermons?
Yeah, this is the kind of stuff my father told me never to do.
Let's hear it.
Never forget, in college, we did a lot of dumb things. College, everybody does in college, but we did dumber ones than most people. And there was one kid who was afraid of the rapture. He was petrified of the rapture. So we figured we'd pull off a rapture. So we went down to the sound stage and we got this great big huge aluminum sheet that makes thunder noise. We got a trumpet. And we got a great big huge press camera with a huge flash. In the middle of the night, he was asleep in his bunk. And we went in there. The guy with the camera got right over his face. He was sleeping like this. And we hit that aluminum sheet. Boing, it was thunder. And the trumpet blew, and somebody out the door said, "Come." See? And he opened his eyes, and that flash went off. And we had everybody for about 4 or 5 rooms around in the dorm leave and make a little cave in the pillow, you know, and the bed's tucked in. We all hid down in the middle of the hall. He couldn't see anything because of the... He came wandering out of there, and he went into one room and then 2 rooms and then came screaming down the hall, "I'm left! I'm left!"
As far as we know, he's still looking for somebody.
That's right.
I'm trying to think now, what did that illustrate again?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. Illustrated insensitivity to this poor guy's fear of the rapture, I think.
Let's talk about the future, John, and we appreciate being able to capsulize these 25 years in a brief period of time. Next 25 years, John, what do you see?
I see myself preaching. I don't know. You know, the Lord may move me. I don't know. I mean, I can't predict what he would do, but I have no sense of release. I don't see anything other than what God has called me to do, and I love preaching his word, and I love my flock. I believe God is going to give us opportunity to expand our radio outreach as well. I think our tape ministry will increase, and with the extension of radio and tapes, I'm very excited. And I want to keep writing. I want to finish commentaries on the whole New Testament. I want to write books that deal with the issues that face the church, and some books that will help Christians grow.
Hmm. In case there is a man driving across Alligator Alley right now, turns on the radio and hears for the first time the voice of John MacArthur with a bit of a cold, Southern California smog, albeit, and Grace to You, what should we know about this ministry?
The whole thing is, you know, Al, as people, you know these people, and God has blessed us with the best staff we've ever had in the history of this ministry.
One word, really, commitment.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Commitment, loyalty, love, excellence. What they do as unto the Lord, unquestionably. And another thing, too, service and ministry. Their cry constantly is, how can we better serve people? How can we expedite answering their needs and their mail and all of that? So I'm very, very grateful for what these people mean to me and how they facilitate all of this ministry. The team is just phenomenal. I mean, I wouldn't change anybody.
Well, I guess the last question that would come to my mind would be a very simple one, John. For what would John MacArthur like to be remembered?
Well, I just want to be remembered like the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 4. He said, let a man account of us as of servants, stewards of the mysteries of God. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be known as anything other than a faithful steward who discharged his responsibility. And speaking of that, I happen to know that you are celebrating a 50th anniversary of ministry, Al.
Mm.
And there's not much that I can do to add to the joys and the blessings that those 50 years have brought to many, many people. But I have a new book, and I just finished it right here.
Whoa.
And the title of it is The Vanishing Conscience.
Wow.
And it'll be out in a few months, and there's a special dedication here.
Oh,
and it says, to Al Sanders, with gratitude for half a century of loyal service to the Savior, and thanks for many years as a wise and generous friend.
I'm completely overcome.
Well, Al, it's a small thing, but
thank you, John.
It's appropriate. And I thank you for your friendship.
I thank you for yours, my friend. And I stand in your corner to root with you, your wife Patricia, your family, your mom and dad, and many other faithful saints down through the ages. Just to say, keep at it. Keep keeping on.
Thanks, Al. A touching conclusion to this week-long series of broadcasts. Congratulations to both of you. Psalm 34, verse 1 reads, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And that's been our intent, as today John MacArthur, along with special host Al Sanders, has recounted the high points of the past 25 years of ministry with Grace to You. Now, as Al mentioned earlier, our mailing address is Grace to You, Post Office Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. This reminder, your gifts in support of Grace to You is what makes it possible for us to remain on the air. We would urge you at this particular time to send a special anniversary contribution in gratitude for all that the Lord has done. And it would be appropriate to thank you for your prayers in recent days, as we've just a little over a month ago suffered a significant earthquake here in Southern California. We recognize God's sovereign hand in all of this, and we greatly appreciate your continued prayers on behalf of Grace to You. Once again, the address, Grace to You, Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. And now on behalf of John MacArthur and the staff, we're praying that God will extend His grace to you and His peace through our Lord Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to John MacArthur, Bible teacher with Grace to You. For free access to all of John's lessons and a listing of study Bibles and books available for sale, visit Grace to You's website at gty.org. John MacArthur and Grace to You reserve all copyright protection under applicable law. Our copyright policy is available at gty.org, and it includes instructions for and limitations on duplicating this digital file.